Welcome, y'all. Welcome back to our podcast. This is Holly Water.
And this is Hellfire.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Yes, y'all. So we just want to start by thanking y'all for taking out your time to listen to us. And we kind of want to piggyback on why we're doing this. Basically, we are of age.
Yes. 40 and back.
Uh-huh. And so we've experienced some things, and we have friends who've experienced, and we've met people, clients, just people in general that's gone through a lot of things. And we have found out that a lot of these topics people don't want to discuss. So that's what we do. In our own personal time, we have a good time, and we talk about stuff. And in our conversations, cocktails and conversations, So we have a good time just talking as friends, you know, and these are subjects that a lot of women have. As we sit down and we talk to other women, they've gone through these things, or we've interviewed different people. We've interviewed a lot of men.
A lot of men.
Most of our interviews have been with men.
And so men need a lot of help.
And men need a lot of
help. They want the help. They want to talk.
And the problem with that, with men, is they feel, you know, hey, I'm a man. I'm not supposed to cry. I'm not supposed to whine. I'm supposed to, you know, be able to handle it. But our men need to be able to talk, too. So we have a lot of male guests. You know, women, they're kind of closed up.
Yeah, so they are.
That's why, you know, we're doing this, you think. So what we're going to do today, Hellfire and I.
Yes, we're going to talk about a good black man.
Yeah,
we're not talking about good in bed only.
No,
we're talking about good in personality, good responsibilities, good husbands, good fathers, just good men in general.
Good men, good black men.
That is
good black men. Yes. Right. And I'm sorry if you're not black, but stay tuned. We'll have something for you too. But we have to talk about our kings, honey.
Yes, we love our kings.
We love our kings.
We need to uplift our kings.
We do. We do.
They need us.
They do. And so, you know, we had a lot of guys reach out asking us, was it male friendly? And yes, it is.
It is.
So y'all stay tuned because we have a lot of juice coming up.
Yes, yes. And we're going to eventually have a whole man panel.
Yes, we are.
And male audience.
I can't wait for that. A lot of our co-hosts are going to be males.
Yeah.
They're volunteering. Yeah, they're volunteering. Mm-hmm. And I think because most of our listeners may be women, and so that may be a good thing.
That's a great
thing.
For them
to come on
and
give their point of view and their opinions and perspectives.
And experiences.
Yes.
All that.
So we're going to get right to it. I think we were trying to figure out what our topic was going to be. We had another topic, y'all.
Yeah.
We're going to save that one. Let's put that up for a little bit.
Put it on the shelf.
We're going to put the side wives up on the shelf.
Put it on the shelf.
Talk about y'all later.
Yeah.
But we felt like we had to give our black men a little something.
Yeah.
So here we go. We're going to get to it. You ready, Hellfire?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Because our black men need the uplifting.
Yes, they
are out there. So, what is your definition of a good black man? I mean, well, let me say what mine is. Or what I think it should be. A good black man for me should be a man that respects me, celebrates, appreciates me in all aspects, don't degrade me, uplift, encourage, and empower me, and support me in any and everything that I do.
That's it. That's it for me too, Hellfire. I think that I totally agree with that. And I think because we have all these different stereotypes of what a good man is, that's one of the reasons why we decided to do this. And, you know, we're just going to get right into it because a lot of people think that a good man has a lot to do with his good looks. You know,
not at all.
But we figured out, you know, I think as you mature and you live a while, your idea of what a good man is changes, of course.
Right.
You know, because when you're young, you're going after the man that look like Denzel Washington.
Exactly.
He's got the muscles.
Right.
And, you know, he looking like Will Smith or somebody like that. But as you, as we mature, we realize that a good man is not that at all. So we want to talk about, as we mature, we realize it's better to find someone who's got your back, rather than someone who turns your head.
Now, I totally agree with that because that's the perception when we're young. Like you said, that's what we look for. And again, he might not have a body like Tyson.
Right.
With a Denzel face.
That's
right?
It.
But, like you said, as he matured, we need him to have what?
He need him to have our backs and not just turn our
and
head.
And not just turn our head.
And another thing, too.
That's a valid point.
Most people look for the flashy man, the man with a nice car driving a Lexus and a Mercedes Benz. And we gravitate towards that because we feel, for whatever reason, those material things sometimes, some type of way, equals power. we need to be validated because for whatever reason we were told, oh, I wasn't, you're not gonna make it. Now I got something to prove to the world. So let me go get this flashy man with all this good money. And then he turned around and beat
you. At least we think it's good money.
And then he beating your butt up.
Right. And then a lot of times that you realize and I realize that a lot of times most of these men are all flash, no cash.
All flash and no cash.
All flash and no cash. Not all of them.
Not all of them. But
some of them.
Right. But the good black man, a good man, he's not flashy. Mm-hmm. He may not have the Lexus. He may not have the Mercedes Benz. But he has a good job. And he has values. Mm-hmm. He has beliefs. You know, he's a God-fearing man.
He has morals.
He has morals. So that is what equates to a good man. Mm-hmm. Also, a good man may not agree with us wholeheartedly.
Yeah, he may not agree with us.
He may not agree with us on everything we say and everything we do.
And a good man isn't insecure about his woman having great achievements
either.
He's
not.
And I noticed a lot of our black men are somewhat insecure when we have more money or we make more a higher power position in our job.
Right.
They tend to be a little insecure
right.
as far as the relationships are concerned.
Right. And sorry to cut you off, but y'all, this is real life stuff, honey. We get excited about it, right? So go ahead and help our family.
And I was just going to say, you know, in fact, he's our number one supporter. And, you know, we need men to support us more in our accomplishments.
Right.
And not be inferior to who we are, what we have. Let's come up together. You know what I'm saying?
Let's come up together.
Let's come up together.
That's why when two become one, that's what that's all about. You know, people just becoming one and coming up together. You have my back, I got your back. Another thing about a good man is he is not ashamed to admit that he's wrong.
Oh, now, see, well, that is a good man because most men that I've heard or, you know, maybe experienced in my younger days, why men cannot admit that they are wrong?
I don't know. That's got a lot to do with the male ego, I think, you know, but a lot of men are, there have been people, men that I've dated in my past that did not want to admit they were wrong. But the crazy thing about it is once we broke up, years later, they come back.
And
why is that?
Baby, I'm sorry.
I was wrong. I didn't mean to do that.
I don't want your apology.
I don't need your apology 3 years later.
I don't want it. I don't need it.
So that makes you a good man. And we want to shout out to all the good men
all
out there
the good
that
black
are handling
men.
Their business. Yes. Give it up.
Yes, our black men.
Well, they are pretty good men out there. We do have some.
We pass them on the streets all the time, in the malls and in the halls and at work. But most of us don't even really know what a good man really looks like.
That's it. And see, this is the thing. You know, I see where these young girls have a checklist, okay?
Yeah, okay.
So they come out with a checklist. But how about this, y'all? A good man is not going to meet every item on your checklist.
Not every item.
He is human.
He is human.
He has faults, you know, and that's the problem with having a checklist.
Right.
Because every man is not going to meet those needs that are on your checklist.
Right.
So I think that because of society, we become a little shallow, you know, with the TV, love and hip hop and housewives and all this stuff.
We have
an idea of what a good man is.
Right.
But if you go back and you think about most of them that were on those shows, girl, they end up
divorced.
Divorce,
you know, couch cheating.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
but you do have some good men out there that have not cheated, who are great providers,
right?
Who loves their kids, takes care of their family, and I think that they have not been recognized. So that's what we're doing today, y'all. We just want to recognize those good black men,
right?
And if you're one of those good black men and you're listening in, honey, toodles to you, okay?
We appreciate all the good black
men.
Yeah, and like you said, you know, a good black man, I think they need our love. He needs love and he needs respect.
Right.
And a lot of times we lose respect for our black men because we feel like they don't meet that checklist.
Right. And another reason why we lose respect for them is because now in today's society, women are making more money than men.
We are.
And because you make more money than your man, doesn't mean that you have to disrespect him.
Exactly.
So that's a thin line between, you know, that I don't believe, you know, as I was raised, you always respect your man, your husband. We're talking about husbands, y'all. We want to talk about husbands. But you want to respect your husband. If he's not making as much money as you, then that doesn't give you the right to be disrespectful. That doesn't give you the right to try to bring him down or put him down in front of your friend, your family and your friends.
I agree.
He's not able to buy you
a used gift or something, you know, for your birthday or Valentine's,
you know. Right, right. And I think we're so emotional. You know, we talk about women. We we want to talk about the women a little bit too, because we are very emotional.
Oh yeah, we're emotional.
Very emotional creatures, and we sometimes are unstable. You know what I mean?
We can be very unstable,
all over the place.
Yeah, because we move on emotions. We should move on mental thoughts and not emotional feelings. But it's hard to separate the two.
It is.
The hardest thing in the world is to control your feelings. So we do react on emotions all the time.
Right, right. And one of the things too with this social media, we find that a lot of women, and instead of just talking to your husband and keeping it within the marriage, you know, they're posting it on Facebook.
Making it public
and talking about the man. And then you look up and 2 weeks later, you're back with him.
Yeah, and that's very disrespectful and degrading for the man.
Right, very. So, ladies, we want to try to respect our man. If he's doing good, if he's really trying, then, you know, we want to support him. Now, let's just talk about this. I know y'all probably haven't seen Acrimony yet, but we saw the movie.
Yes, we did.
And it was amazing.
Great.
But what we do want to talk about is the man that don't want to do anything. The one that stays on the couch all day. And he talking about he trying.
Yeah,
no, you're not trying.
Yeah, he got potential to be broke.
Yeah, so we're not dealing with all that. You know, we're too old for it. So if you're at home all day on the couch, and you just laying around doing your thing. No, boo, you're not trying. Coming home from work and you smiling at me. I'm not happy to see you.
Right. No, I'm not. And I'm at work all day.
Right. But for those of you men that are out there getting it and doing your best and, you know, and you're still coming up short, we salute you on today. And then I want to piggyback off of what Hellfire said a minute ago about Valentine's and birthdays.
Right.
Men may not always be able to give you that wonderful gift that you want or that you desire, but he shows his love in other ways. He'll show his love in ways that's comfortable for him. So don't judge him. You know, don't judge him by what your girlfriend got.
Right.
Or what Mimi Lee's got.
Yeah, the TV standards. Yeah,
social media standards. You know, because most of that is fake. So
it's fairy tale.
Let's just be honest.
That's no one's real reality.
That is not your
reality. That is TV.
That is just TV. So, you know, and I like, and we ask the question, how would you like for a man to show his love? Would you like for him to shower you with everything? Mm-hmm. Or would you like for him to show you?
Exactly.
I say love is an action word.
Love is an action. Show me.
Show me.
Like you say,
show me.
Hey.
Yeah.
Show me. Don't tell me.
Yeah, because a pair of lips will say anything, but your actions
speak louder than your words.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That's where we are with that. The one other thing about a good man is sometimes, you know, I have a friend, and he would always tell me, you know, he's very successful. He's an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
Goes to the gym. Nice body, but he's just not an attractive man.
He's not. But again, don't look at the
physical.
Face.
You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of unattractive good black men out there.
You got to look
who would love to be with a queen.
But I got to want to wake up to him.
You do?
Come on, holy water. I got him.
I know. I mean, but look. Look. I'm blind, though, girl. Just don't cry in the park.
I got to like what I see now.
Yeah, you do. And I'm like that, too. But I think that, here's the thing. Someone said, if you keep doing the same thing, expecting different results, that must mean you crazy. You got to be insane.
So change it up.
So for those of you women who have been dating a macho, muscular, good-looking man, all flash and no cash.
We're going to love your dirty child.
Try something different. Because Paul is waiting on us, honey. Paul out there waiting on y'all.
Paul waiting on us.
So that's what we're doing today. We just wanted to talk about our good black men because they do get a bad rap.
They do.
And
they
not
do.
Only from us as sisters, and we need to try to uplift our men, but from this world,
from society,
period.
Yeah.
You know,
it's set up, though. They set it up where they really don't want the black family to be together, because together we are so powerful.
We are very powerful.
We create so much. We do such great things, and black love is wonderful. And I did want to say, too, you know, we don't need to miss out on our own fairy tale by buying into the myth that there are no good men out there.
Right.
No good black men out there.
Right.
And there are. There are. Like you said, we just got to give it a chance. We got to look and see. We got to look beyond what we used to. Look beyond on what we used to do and do something different.
That's it. We realize that because of what's going on in the world now that, you know, black men is already born with a stripe on his back. And because of that, it's very hard for him as far as finances, you know, to get money to go to college mm-hmm. in order to try to get a career. And even, you know, after he's gone to college, you know, I find that there's a lot of men, a lot of my male friends that has had issues as a young child.
Right.
And, you know, and that's something I want to talk about, too, because you get in trouble as a black man at 16 and 17, and it follows you for the rest of your life.
Yes, it does.
You know, you end up with a charge. You know, you have a misdemeanor or a felony on your record. And so with that, once you do that, you're not allowed to go and get a job to be able to provide for your family. But we just want to encourage you guys that are out there, if you're dealing with this situation, you know, there are some companies that will hire you. Maybe you should go back to school, try to start your own business, because I honestly believe that what the devil meant for bad, y'all, he gonna holy water. I got to put some love in there. I got to sprinkle with a little holy.
Sprinkle with a little holy
what
water.
The devil meant
put
for
the
bad,
oil on it.
God gonna use it for your good, honey. Mm-hmm. And your latter will be greater than your past. So I think that when you run into those obstacles and you find yourself not being able to find a job, then maybe it's time for you to step out into entrepreneurship.
Right.
You know,
creating a business for yourself.
Right. Create a business for yourself and for your kids, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that I just want to share that with you guys. I'll let you know that there's a lot of things out there that you can do besides running around trying to find a job from somebody else.
Right, you know, right, right.
Somebody told me a long time ago, people will pay you to turn your back on your dreams.
You know what I mean? People will, but I wanted to piggyback on the background and with them, you know, discrediting themselves when they do something wrong or go to jail. We're gonna give that website that has a list of jobs, and I don't have it right now, but we'll do it on another show for all the ones who cannot or do have a background, cannot get your typical job, but there are a list of employees that will give you jobs due to your background.
Right.
Due to your past mistakes. But no, like you said, what did you say? There are people out there that will pay you to not follow your dreams.
Right.
And that is so true, but we have to continue to push through. We have to continue to push through as black culture, as black women, as black men. Because, you know, our black men are very important to us, and we're losing them.
Yeah, we're losing them. And y'all, and let me tell y'all something. We need them.
We need them. And they need us.
And they need us. So, you know, we can sit there and call black men dogs. We can say that they're dogs. But if you still with him, honey, then what does that make you? A dog catcher? So, you know, quit calling your man a dog catcher.
Yes.
Especially if you're not, if you're going to stay with him, if you're not going to do anything about it, you know, just stop it. Stop it.
And then about men, you know, the hip-hop lifestyle, too, they tend to put our black men in a bad light, too.
Right.
So we need to realize that again, is really just TV, videos, songs. So let's not feel like that all our black men are what they portray them to be. You know what I'm saying? Especially in the thug life music. All our black men are not thugs.
They're not. And
but the media portrays them to be.
They do that. And they're not criminals either, you know. They're very educated. A lot of times they don't portray that in the media. We don't see that. But I do want to go back to what you were saying earlier. You brought up something about the man being your support or supporting you with you excelling in your things,
mm-hmm,
right? You said something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, a good black man is not intimidated. That's what you're talking
about.
Yeah,
he's not intimidated
with our success or with your success. His happiness comes with seeing you excel in your dreams and your accomplishments and your goals.
Exactly.
And then once you excel, you know, and you're exalted, a good woman will bring her good man with her.
In fact, he's your number one supporter.
Yes, he will be your number one supporter.
And he should become disappointed when she begins to lose herself. That's when he should be disappointed. Don't be disappointed because I'm doing my thing.
Right.
Get disappointed when I'm not.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So you're right.
Yeah, and so that is the definition of a good black man. Also, that list that she told y'all about, it is a good list because as most of you know, my son, we're experiencing some things because I think sometimes God allows us to go through certain things for us to understand what other people are going through,
mm-hmm,
that journey.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought, and this is something I talk about openly, this is stuff that's going to be in my book. Y'all stay tuned for it.
Book.
Having a son at the age of 23 who's dealing with a felony. So you sent that list and we were able to get some good connections with that. So yeah, we want to have all that for you guys, because not only is Holy Water and Hellfire just a podcast, we really wanted to help change lives. Right. We want to touch you guys through our experiences, through people that we've met, different things like that, because we need it. You know, we need that.
We're here to support, encourage, explore, uplift, and all those good things, honey. All those good things.
Not just the women. We're here for you men, too.
We're here for you men, you kids, you youth, men and women.
Right.
You know, we're not just for an adult, like you said. Right. We're for everybody.
For the young generation, because they need us, too.
Oh, now they need us
the most. Because, honey, they are programming our kids to think that this here is the right way, and it is totally not it. But again, when we call our men dogs, at the end of the day, for me, myself, I love me a good black man.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
I mean, I don't understand, and we're going to kind of get off a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't understand, and maybe it's not for me to understand, you know, these are controversial topics, so y'all don't get offended by what we're saying. This is not Bible. A woman can reach a certain amount of success, and we still want a black man.
I do.
We still want a black man. I just can't do the other.
I don't. I cannot. I will not. I won't not. Not to marry.
Not to marry or to carry.
I might carry him, but I ain't gonna marry.
I want me a good black man.
I ain't gonna marry. But back to that. Yeah, I want a good black man.
We do. And, you know, for our black men out there, once you make it and you achieve a certain amount of success, don't forget about your black queens.
Yes.
Because we do realize that there's a huge number of black men that are successful that will not date a black woman.
Right. Or they dated a black woman when they were broke, but once they became successful, they traded her in for... They trade that black car in for a white car.
Or other. Because it's doing same as that.
That's what I'm saying. Other.
Yeah. And but for us, we are so loyal to it, though.
We are. We loyal to a fault.
We are loyal to the black men.
We are loyal.
You know, so we do need you guys. We need y'all. So we need y'all to come on and step up. There are women that are out there. I have a lot of eligible friends. Female women who are successful, because you know, a successful good man won't say
successful black woman. Yeah,
and there are a lot of them out there.
Yeah, there are so many out there, but we just don't feel like that they're the black men want us though. Yeah. As far as when they become successful, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that's an issue.
So y'all don't forget about your black queens, and we won't forget about our black kings.
And we're gonna have a show about that too. We're definitely gonna have a show on. Why do black men tend to do the other when they become successful? But but from my point of view, I think it's because it goes back to slavery. You know, because they feel like white is right.
White is right.
Or other is better.
And they also, you know, there's this stereotype that black women are bitter. And that's another topic. But black women are not bitter. Black women, there's a difference between being bitter and being broken.
Yeah.
And if you know our history, being as a black man, you would never call a black woman bitter.
Right.
Because we're just broken. We've gone through and had to endure a lot of things.
And we've seen our ancestors go through it.
Yeah. And
we're strong.
Now, on the flip side, now there is some crazy black women out there.
There are a lot of crazy black women.
Okay. Let's just be clear. And there's a lot of crazy black men.
I must agree.
But not all. So, you know, but we want to talk about our good black men today. And we hope that you guys have enjoyed our podcast.
Yes.
And that you will continue to tune in.
But I do want, before we go, I just want to say, ladies, so there are some good black men out there, right? But there are even some men who act like they good.
Oh, Jesus. Now let's be honest.
You know what I'm saying? So we are talking about our good black men, and we salute you. We love you. But at the same time, there are good black men. Well, there are men who act like they're good and they're not.
They're not. Okay. And so how do you, and this is one of the things I've spoken to people about.
We still on good men. We ain't trying to go left.
Yeah, we're going a little left. Yeah, it's a podcast.
We'll be right back.
So what now?
So pause.
So I think that when you're in a relationship with a man,
okay,
you meet him and honey, his representative shows up. It's gonna be good and whining and dining. And you know, and so people say, well, you can get into a bad relationship with a person who pretended to be a good man, and a year down the road, 6 months down the road, maybe 2 years down the road, or longer, he turns into Satan.
A monster.
Yeah. And so I think those are some of the things that we need to try to be able to have more of a discerning spirit about.
Right.
When you're dealing with men.
Right.
So you can discern that.
Right. We need to date to see our elements of a man.
Yeah, and so we do. We need to date longer. We need to date for a while. People have said date a year, date 2 years. I say date five.
Date three to five years.
3 to 5 years. You know, I read Steve Harvey's book,
Act Like a Lady,
Think Like a Man. And in his book, he says that if you've been dating 2 to 3 years and he hasn't asked you to marry him, he's probably not going to. But right. I say still, date 2 to 3 years, 3 to 5, y'all. We have all these rules that we put in place, but when you know, you know. You know what I mean? And don't ignore the red signs.
Right.
The red flags.
Right.
Because there are red flags. Oh, girl, I could change him.
Right.
I'm going to love him
like
live.
That. Oh, he'll be you better. Know? Yeah.
But look at their history.
Right.
Do a background check.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Do a background check.
Because you have to go and have a background check done for any job, an apartment. You know,
credit cards.
Right. So why wouldn't you do a background check on
your
man?
You should.
So you can see those. So here's the thing. He's been married 3 to 5 times and he whooped all of them. Girl, you ain't no different.
Yeah, he gonna whoop your ass too.
He gonna whoop you.
Because I know someone that got married to a man. Mm-hmm. She married him. They were married for 10 years. She saw some things that she didn't see in the beginning. She did a background check. Two. They were married for two. She did a background check after the 2 years they were married. And he had a child molestation case on his background.
Jesus. That's
if she had done that 2 years before they got married, she wouldn't have married him.
She could have seen
so
that.
So she ended up filing for divorce.
Right.
But you wouldn't have to go through those situations if you find out early.
And run a credit check. Right. In today's society, it's easy to do a background check. All you got to do is pay a couple of dollars and you do your little background check. It's worth it. Your life is worth it.
Yeah.
You know, your life is worth it. And ladies, if he shows that he has a temper, he has his rage.
Mm-hmm.
If he hits you one time, he gonna hit you two times. If he hits you two times, the next time he might kill you.
And it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, you know. And don't stay for the wrong reasons. You know, a lot of women are getting into marriages because of the money.
Right.
You know, and then they stay. He's abusing them in different ways, and they stay. They stay for the money. But money is the wrong reason to stay in any relationship or marriage. Honey, I don't care how much money you got. I go live in a little corner pocket somewhere.
Because money can't buy
money
a piece
can't
of mind.
Buy you peace of mind.
Right. They stay for the money. Right. They stay for the lifestyle. Or the men have put them in certain situations where they cannot leave, or at least they feel like they can't leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are women who have not worked in 20 years, and they're at home with their kids, and they're so-called dependent on their husband, so they feel like, where am I going to go?
Right.
What am I going to do? Who am I going to turn to?
Right.
I can't leave him. I have nothing.
Right.
You know, so don't even put yourself as a woman in those positions where you are so codependent on someone till you feel like you have no choice but to deal with something that's making you very miserable.
And that's another thing. Women are wanting to marry to be kept. Honey, but there's that price that you have to pay to be kept is not worth it.
But while you're being kept, you better stash.
You better stash cash and dash.
You gotta stash cash and dash. Okay. Them whole 20 years I ain't working.
Okay.
I'm stashing.
You better be stashing.
Just in case.
Right. You better be stashing.
Just in case. Okay.
Exactly. And we want to talk about a lot of things. We have a lot of things we want to talk about, and that's how we get off a little bit because, honey, we've sat and talked about some of these things numerous times. We really want to stay on the fact that there are really good black men out there.
Yes.
Black men, if you're listening to us, we love you. We support you. We're rooting for you. We appreciate you, you know, and we really want to make sure that y'all know that. So this is Holy Water
and Hellfire.
And we're signing off. And guys, we want to make sure that you know.
Our beautiful black men, we salute you again. Appreciate you.
We thank you.
For who you are.
And all you've done.
And all that you have done. Bye-bye. We love you, our black men.
See you
later. Bye-bye.
Toodles. Hello, hello, hello. This is Holy Water.
And this is Hellfire.
What's up? What's up?
What's going on? What's going on? Like Marvin Gaye say, what's going on?
Okay, let's talk about it, y'all. So, you know, today's Wednesday, of course.
Today is Wednesday and we're back again. Holy water and hell fire.
Yes. So what are we going to be talking about?
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Not this week. No.
So we ain't talking about sex.
No.
That's next time.
That's next time. Wait a minute.
What are we talking about?
Today we're going to talk about the reason that we have this podcast and the reason that we decided to do this.
Well, let that be the reason. Well, what's the reason?
Okay, so the reason is there are topics that people don't want to discuss. Very sensitive topics.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of those.
A lot. It may be uncomfortable at times. We may say something that people don't approve of.
Yeah. It's going to be a lot of that.
Right.
A lot of touchy conversations.
Yes. So, you know, in our private time as friends, as sisters, we do a lot of talking.
We do.
And I think that a lot of people are dealing with the same issues or are faced with some of the issues that we've gone through and experienced, as well as some of our constituents.
Yes, you're right. So a lot of us have. And I know I have. And I know a lot of these conversations may be very uncomfortable for myself. However, I do want to collaborate with you people out there, my girlfriends and guy friends, so we can discuss some of these issues and you can give me some of your tips or ideas
feedback. Yeah,
or
we want to hear from
comments,
you.
Concerns.
Yeah. Right.
I'm open to it.
Right. So with that being said, we're just going to dive right in. But I do want to put a little note out there that this conversation, you know, we probably want to get your kids and not have them listening to this because there may be some things. But we're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about masturbation. We're going to talk about
orgasm.
Money. We're going to talk about
all flesh, no cash.
Yeah, side chicks. Unhappy marriages. Relationships.
Money.
All of that.
Broke.
Yeah.
Being broke. It's okay to be broke, but it ain't okay to stay broke.
No, it's not.
Let's talk about that. Okay.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we've experienced is that a lot of people are on social media faking and fronting. And so that's the subject too.
Faking and shaking. They are not like the likes that they get. They are not like the likes.
Yeah, they're not. So
social savvy, but in real life, they are so not that at all.
Right, and a lot of women are falling apart with every hair in place.
Your
wig is cute, girl.
Your wig is cute, but your heart is broken.
Exactly. You know, a lot of damage. Also, you church folks out there, hey my saved real people, my not my religious folks, but my spiritual people. Y'all feel me, right?
Yeah.
But your church folks probably want to cut this off right now. You know, you may not like this one. So
I think the church folks need to keep it on, though. The church folks are just as real as we are. I know they have their ways and some things they really don't want to hear or face.
Right.
But we are all going through the same thing.
We are. And at the end of the day, me being involved in ministry, I get questions and people come to me after service. There are things you can't say to your pastor. There are things you can't say to your first lady.
But aren't they human?
They are human. But here's an example. Can I give an example?
Yes, give an example.
Okay. So if I have a pastor and I'm a female, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my pastor's a male.
Okay.
He might be single. Let's just say.
Right.
And I want to ask him, is it okay that my husband masturbates before he and I engage in sex?
Oh no, sister, holy water. You cannot ask him that. Oh no, sister, holy water. Not the pastor.
Are you crazy, girl? So, you know, that's how they feel. Yes. Girl, no, you just got to go down in prayer. You got to be consecrated. You need to go on a fast.
Is it okay? Is it a sin to suck his penis?
Well, okay.
I'm saying my husband. Like,
you want to...
Do religious people have sex?
Well, religious... Yeah, they do. They have sex.
In the church?
Not in the church.
But the people have sex. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Where you think baby Christians come from?
The religious people.
So, yeah, sex is... But sex is a beautiful thing. God created that. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's uncomfortable to talk about it in a church setting. So people rather talk to you in private call you to the side, right. That kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to be talking about.
Okay, so I definitely get it. So what you're saying is the religious people do not want to discuss these issues openly.
Not openly.
Okay.
Or it may feel uncomfortable for me being a woman going to a man asking him those questions.
Right.
You know, and vice versa. So I think that, if we talk about it openly and discuss some of the things that we've experienced or we've done some research, y'all. We've done a lot of research with different people about topics, and these are topics that they want to hear. Mm-hmm. So, hey, y'all, that's what we're here for.
Yeah, you're right. These are topics that people want to hear. These are topics that people need to hear and need to discuss.
Right.
Because they're having issues just like we are.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we all are human beings. We all go through the same thing. We all have the same experiences.
Right.
Most of us have sex, you know, so we want to talk about sex. I know.
I think everybody having sex.
I think so, too.
Not when you say most, like
everybody.
Everybody has sex.
Yeah.
So one of the touchy subjects we want to talk about, because we did talk about the men, you know, we have our good black men.
Yeah, we have our
last episode. But
shout out to all my good black men.
Hello, hello. But this week, we want to talk about unhealthy relationships.
Mm.
Let's talk about unhealthy relationships. Bitter black women.
Oh yeah, because you know we have that disclaimer on us.
Yeah, we have
bitter,
that on
yeah,
us.
And I don't think every black woman is bitter. I mean, there's some bitter white women. I mean, I think women, all women can be bitter.
They're
if
bitter,
you bring them, yeah.
Bitter people, period.
Right.
Yeah. But one of the things that we do have that on us is, you know, to say that we're black bitter women. I think that black women are broken.
We are very broken.
I think we're broken, and I think our brokenness comes, it's deep. It comes from things that happened to us in our childhood that we were not able to deal with because we were told what happened here, stay here, girl, ain't nothing wrong with you. Don't you tell nobody. You just got to get up, put a smile on your face, you know, and keep it moving.
Right.
You know.
And we didn't know how to deal with it either. Our parents didn't know how to deal with it, so they taught us what they thought we should do, which was, don't tell my business. What goes on in this house stays in this house.
Right. And at the end of the day, that's just so not right. I think that what goes on in your house needs to be told to some people.
I think we needed therapy.
We needed therapy.
Back then.
Yeah, check it. Because, 7 out of 10 black women have been molested, even in the home.
I know.
Close family member. And when you've got to sit around the table every holiday looking
with
at
the
that person, that's
devastating.
That's devastating,
Do you just block it out? I mean, I don't know. I've never experienced it. So, but from what I've heard from, different people who have, they just block it out as if it's just like never existed. You try to forget it.
Yeah, you block it. And with the blocking, though, you don't actually get your complete healing. So blocking, of course, you can block it and pretend like it didn't happen. Mm-hmm. But are you whole? Are you healed?
Mm-mm.
Are you over it? You know what I mean? So that's where people come up with all this, oh, black women are bitter. No, we've had to endure so many things. And on the flip note to that, I think that even in our relationships, we experience things and we're told, girl, what happened in your house, stay in your house. Whatever's going on with you and your husband, don't tell nobody about it. You know, you deal with it.
Right.
And I just think that's just not right. I don't agree. I don't agree with that.
I completely don't agree because at the same time, not only are we told, just deal with it. That's your husband. Y'all need to stay together. Don't leave him. Be with him. Why do we endure those things? Like, why do I have to, just because he's my husband at that time, why do I have to deal with the mistreat and the mental and physical abuse?
Because it's abuse, period. Whether it's mental, physical, or verbal, it's abuse. So you're telling me that because he's my husband, just stay there and be abused.
Right.
And that's what we've been taught.
Yeah, and that's not what I'm going to do.
Right. And so I know that there, and we really want y'all to know that, we have a good time here. We laugh, you know, we try to make this really soft, but we're going to have some events where we have everyone come out, you know, do the unveiling. We're going to sit and talk about these things. We want to share our testimonies on a more personal note.
Right.
Maybe one-on-one or in a small personal setting.
Right. We're going to have the Holy Water here by Can We Talk?
Yes, we are.
So coming soon.
Stay tuned.
To a city near you.
Yes, we're going to have all that information for you guys. And listen, I'm excited about our website that's going to be coming up.
Yes! stay in tune, everybody. Our website will be coming soon for you guys to check out.
Yes.
And we would love for you to go on and sign on with your email address and everything, your contact information.
Yes, so we can stay connected.
Yes, yes, yes. And I know you said we're going to talk about relationships, but we also need to talk about we talked about good men, but we also want to talk about good relationships too. Because there are some.
Yes, that's
a
few,
but it's
some good relationships.
So, you know, we're not just talking about everything bad or sad. There are great relationships. I love Black Love. I'm a fan of it. I think I had it once myself.
yes. And there's nothing, like you said, there's nothing like Black Love. I'm for it. I'm with it. I love it. So we are not bitter.
We're not bitter.
You know, we have experiences, and these are things we talk about. Right. And we're like, hey.
On an everyday basis.
Yeah, every day. This is how we talk.
But what we need to realize as women, though, before we can actually fall in love with someone and have a happy and healthy relationship, we need to love ourselves.
Yes.
And I think that's something very, very important that we need to discuss.
Yes. I actually had this conversation, and we don't call names. But I had this conversation with a friend of mine the other day, and she made a comment, and I'm sure she's going to be listening, and she's not going to mind me sharing this. She said to me, I feel so incomplete without a husband.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so my thing was, why do you feel incomplete without a man, without a husband? Is that supposed to complete you?
Right.
And then I did share with her that if you feel incomplete without a man, you will still be incomplete with a man.
Yes.
Because a man doesn't complete you.
You have to complete yourself.
You do. And that comes from within. And I do know we all have unhealthy relationships because we don't know. With the struggles that we have, the abuse, and don't do this. So we were taught wrong in a lot of instances. Mm-hmm.
We were taught wrong. So that we just took that baggage and brought it on with us in our adult life. And so that's the only way we know how to deal with things. But that's so sad that you mentioned that she's, you know, does not feel complete without a man. Right. I mean, as a woman, I think you, like I just said, we need to love ourselves and complete ourselves. So when we get a man, then it becomes a whole completion.
Yeah.
He doesn't complete us, but he definitely adds to my completion.
Right, right. It takes two whole people to become one.
Right.
And
half and a half.
Right. And in marriage, you know, and of course, for all my spiritual people, two people marry to become one. And you wonder why you never get to that one, because
you're not a whole.
You're going in the relationship as a half. Or you're going in for the money.
What's wrong with going in for the money?
Well, you know.
I don't know. Wait a minute. I need a little money too now.
Yeah, we need a little money. And you know what? Marriage is part relationship and then part business. You know what I mean? And then there are people that don't believe that. But if that's how you think, then your marriage won't last, because it is part.
I agree.
Yeah.
I definitely agree it's part business.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to marry a man with a 2 credit score.
No, you don't. Because we need credit to get things that we need.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think we talked one night about, we do job interviews for everything in this world. We do an interview. They have to check your credit before you buy something.
Background checks for everything.
Background check. Before you can go, you know, you got to have physicals, even the kids in school to play sports, they want to check you out. So what's wrong with checking out the man?
Yeah, and I think...
Or the woman, right.
I think in a relationship, you should do background checks on each other.
Yeah.
I think that should be a requirement.
That should be the first thing you do.
Background check and HIV
test. HIV test. First time with me. Hello, what's your name? Holy water. Can you take this test?
What's your social security number? Yeah, let me swab your mouth. Okay, let me get your background check.
Open your mouth. What's
your name? Yeah, those are things we don't think about.
And then when we get into these relationships and we figure out, oh my God, he ain't got no money.
He ain't got no credit.
No car.
No car.
No car.
No job.
So we're devastated. And let's talk about that. Mm. We are not dogging our men. But let me just say this, ladies. When y'all come around talking about these men and what they don't have, it is your responsibility to figure all that out.
And to find out exactly what you need out of a man.
That is your responsibility. So if you don't do that, don't go telling everybody, oh, he was this and he was that. Because you have the opportunity to fix that. Okay. Right. To
that's your problem. Out. Yeah.
Right.
You didn't do your due diligence. And so that's the problem. So, ladies, I just want to let you guys know that, you know, we're not only just, like she said, male bashing. We're talking about women, too. It's a lot of women out there that do not have their things or shit together either. They have bad credit. They have no job. They own the system. So this is just not about men. This is about people in general. And like we were discussing, we're going to talk about a lot of other things. We're going to talk about be addicted to yourself. We're also going to talk about...
So yeah, at the end of the day, I think it's our responsibility, men and women alike, to just kind of do the background checks. Do your due diligence. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
And for some reason, Hellfire, I believe social media has people running to get married.
You think so?
It is. You know what? Or maybe we're just exposed to so much. But every week, someone on my timeline, he proposed to me. Yeah. I say yes. And they show off the ring.
But are they really as happy as they post to be?
Post.
P-O-S-T. Post to be.
So, are they really?
I'm not sure. I don't know. And I hope they are. I hope so. But it's a lot of that. And, you know, it's the ring. And I think a lot of people are in love with the ceremony.
Yeah. They're in love with the whole idea of being married.
The idea of being married.
But really, in my opinion, being married is more of a responsibility and not an event.
It is a responsibility. And then I want to talk about myself a little bit real quick. And I want to be very careful because we don't want to talk about anybody's names or talk about our significant others in a way where they feel uncomfortable. But I was that person that did not grow up wanting to be married. Marriage was not on my things, on my list of things to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason that it wasn't on my list, number one, the only successful marriage I was able to see was my grandmother and my grandfather.
Mm.
And that was so profound for me to witness that. And now being an adult woman, I understand that there were some things that transpired in the marriage, you know, because it's work.
Right.
But as a young girl, I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, and my grandmother, my grandfather are the perfect couple.
At least that's what you saw.
What I saw. And so, but then I would see other relationships and I just never wanted that. I try to be careful because we'll go off a little bit, but I'm going to share this openly about some of the abuse that I experienced growing up. So when you have been sexually abused as a young girl, my first thing was to just get away.
Get away?
Get
away in like which sense of get away? Like
I wanted to escape my reality.
Mentally and physically.
Yes, both. So, and being from a small town, population 2,000 people.
That's very small.
Yeah, I knew that it had to be something outside of that. Now, I love where I'm from. You know, I've grown, I've matured, I've delivered, I've forgiven, and I'm whole and complete. But at the end of the day, I kind of did a lot of other things before actually getting into marriage. And that's something we'll talk about later, too. Because I do want to talk about, we're going to talk about homosexuality as something I talk openly about. I don't like calling it homosexuality. I don't want to offend anyone. But I did have an experience with women.
Okay, you did.
Most of my young
adult, most of or just a portion of them?
Well, a portion of my adult life.
Right.
Yeah, not young. So, so with that being said, oh, no, I didn't want a husband. And I waited, actually, till I was 45 because I wanted the salon and, you know, the dreams of being a hairstylist. And let me go get this and make all my dreams come true. You know, and so I just didn't chase that.
You didn't?
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
That wasn't my dream.
And me personally, I never had to be married either, but I did come from a two-parent home.
Yeah.
A mother and a father, which was my stepmother, who, her and my dad, they've been married since I was six. So most of all my life. So I did see what was a successful marriage. And as of today, at this very moment, as we're sitting here, they're still together.
Yay.
I want to say 43 years, 44 years, which is awesome and amazing today anyway.
Right.
But with that being said, I still didn't have to be married. You know, marriage wasn't something on the forefront of my list either. I really wanted to play around, have fun. I wanted to be a player.
Go ahead, Hellfire. Yeah.
I wanted to be a player, honey. Right. I wanted all the boyfriends, honey. I didn't want a husband.
Right, right.
I wanted to do me, yeah. And I wanted to do me very well.
Uh-huh.
And so, my sister ended up getting married before me, my younger sister.
Mine did too. Oh, sister, yeah. Yeah.
And that was great. She's still married.
Shout out, sis.
Shout out, sis. Love you. Love you. Great marriage.
Yeah, they have a wonderful, she has a wonderful marriage.
She does a wonderful marriage, a wonderful husband.
Shout
out. Does
yes,
too. And that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. So I did get married. Like you said, you were 45. I think I was 30 something.
Something. Yeah.
Something.
Yeah.
32. And I got married, and I was married for 14 years.
Slim
and
I'm, in the,
yes,
what is it? Slim
and
what is it?
Cute in the face.
Cute in the face.
Cute in the face and slim in the waist.
Yes.
Cute and married.
Okay.
So I got married, and I'm going to say this. I had a great marriage.
Yeah.
It was great. It was awesome and amazing. But at the end of the day, we outgrew each other. And I think that's just life, and it happens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing he did, nothing I did. It just happens.
Right.
But as of today, we're still friends.
Y'all are friends. See, y'all
we're
have
friends.
A son.
We're co-parenting.
Y'all co-parent. I see y'all co-parenting. That's
and,
great.
You know, it's all good. It's all gravy, baby, like they say.
It's
you know?
All gravy.
It's all gravy.
Yeah.
So, yep.
So, but we really want, y'all, we're transparent, and we're going to share so much about ourselves, at least what we can share without hurting other people or without calling someone out, because this is not what it's about. That's not what Holy Water and Hellfire is for. We stand... for empowerment, encouragement,
mm-hmm.
enlightenment, and unveiling. And I think if you can sit and talk about these things, even if you can listen to us, and I want to say, this is one thing I thought about too.
Oh, what?
We want to try to help, if we can get them to get a tablet.
Okay.
Okay. Our listeners.
Right.
Get a tablet.
And they can get our journals.
They can get our journals.
Well,
yeah. It'll be on our website.
It'll be on our website.
And you can journal and write things down.
Right.
Write it down. The thing you can't tell someone else, write it in your journal. Things you have been wanting to say to someone, you know, because it was hard for me and my mother, who I love dearly.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard for me, at even 35, to have a conversation about something that happened to me because I thought she would be, no, that didn't happen.
Right.
Or not, I don't hear it.
Right.
But she really embraced me, and it was hard. It was hard, and I thank her for embracing me. And it changed the dynamic of our relationship.
Right.
But there are some women out there who can't talk to their mothers, can't talk to their father.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have anyone to talk to. Or they feel they don't.
They feel they don't.
You know, and we just want them to know. We're here. You can talk to us. Write it in your journal.
Right.
And when you see us at our events, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. Can we talk?
Yeah.
Can we talk?
You know? Let's be honest.
Let's be clear, let's be transparent, and piggyback on what you said as far as talking to your mom. I felt like that. I couldn't talk to my dad. My dad and I, we were really close. It's not that he did anything, because he was always there for me to talk to.
Right.
But I think within myself, I didn't know how to approach the conversation.
Yeah.
I wasn't mentally mature enough to understand, like, how should I approach this, or where should I start, or what should I say about, you know, our relationship, and it really not about our relationship with my mom. My mom and my dad wasn't together. The marriage that I was talking about was with my stepmother. So I had issues. I had mommy issues.
Yeah.
Where most girls have daddy issues.
And you know what? We'll talk about that too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're going to be able to share that and talk to people who have mommy issues. Because
mm-hmm.
we always talk about daddy
mm-hmm.
issues.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's something we need to tackle.
Yeah.
Mommy issues. Because a lot
of women have mommy issues, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I do.
Because I didn't know how to be a mom. You know, being a mom was something I had to learn for myself. And also, shout out to my stepmother. She was a great mom. I love her to death. And everything that I know today, I am because of who she made me be. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So what she showed me and what I learned in the streets.
Yes.
And we're going to talk about the
streets.
We're
going to talk about the streets because, honey, I came out the streets, honey.
We
was at about them streets.
But the streets taught me.
That street, And so, that's something that a lot of, I think most boss chicks now, successful women, was about that life.
Taught in the streets.
In
the streets taught me.
Yeah.
That's a book.
Yeah,
the streets taught me.
Look, don't give it up. You know, the people up there listening to us.
Yeah,
the
streets taught me.
The streets taught me.
Well, the streets
have taught a lot of us.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about the foundation of black families,
mm-hmm.
too. The reason why we had those issues, and that's why we have some of the, what people call, or the church folks call, generational curses. I don't want to just correct nobody, but there's a lot of things that have been handed down from our ancestors and people, you know, and we've never dealt with it.
So a lot of us have gone through.
So now it's time to break those traditional traits.
Right. It's time.
Yeah, it's time.
It's time. We need to talk about it. You know, we don't want to get anyone in trouble. Like the people that went and filed charges on Bill Cosby. Lord Jesus, 30 years. I mean, I don't know. That's so sensitive. But I do know that being a survivor of molestation, when you get to a certain point, you don't want to hurt them anymore. You just want to heal.
But don't you think if he did the crime, he need to do the time?
If he did the crime, he need to do the time. But for
whether it's 30 years or 50 years, but for you?
But for me, if let's just say if he was just Joe Blow, and he had no money, do you think that it would have gone as far as
Hell no.
Okay.
It wouldn't be worth it.
It wouldn't be worth it. So
no, it wouldn't be worth
there's
it.
No price I can put on that part of me that was taken from me as a kid.
I do kind of feel sorry for Joe Blow, but I do feel sorry. I do sympathize with those women because I am a woman first, and I know you
can
relate.
And I'm a survivor. Yeah. You know, and so those are things. So we want to talk about that a little bit too. But at the end of the day, I think Hellfire and I both have a lot of things in common. I know we do. We have a lot of things in common and different things. You know, that's why it's going to be controversial.
Right.
You know, versatile topics.
We have a lot of things in common and not so in common.
Yes.
We have different point of views on different, a lot of things. And not only that, we're going to talk about friendships. Female friendships. That's something that I think we really need to discuss too, because a lot of us do not know how to be friends. Everybody's definition of friendship is different according to their experiences. We want to know, as women, you know, what are you valuing a friendship? What do you feel a friendship is?
Right.
When do you feel like a friendship needs to end?
Because some of them need to end.
Oh, yeah, you got that.
That's
right.
An expiration date.
It's an expiration date.
That's an expiration date on everything. And speaking of that, sis, you know what? I was thinking, why don't marriages have expiration dates?
Yeah, you know, like we said, I think we should sign leases on marriages.
They need to have a lease.
So you need a lease on marriages and friendships.
Yeah. So what do you think about a marriage? If you feel like, I don't really know.
Yeah.
Because I say this like this. I know, you know, church folks got to go to bed. But what I'm trying to say is...
No, church folks, tell your ass. They need to hear this.
What I'm trying to say is, a man and a woman can get married.
Okay.
And it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And she can walk away with all his stuff.
Everything.
I don't think it's fair.
It's not fair.
I don't think it's fair that a woman can, because she could be plotting the whole time to marry this man, stay with him 4 years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever your state requires, and then you divorce him and take half of his stuff.
It's not fair, but I do think it's fair if he's the one that's messing up now.
If he messed up, but he didn't build the empire. She didn't build the empire. She just came in.
She did just
she
came
just
in.
She just slid on it.
Yeah.
So,
she
you know.
She just slid on
slid
it.
On
but,
it.
If, but if he's the one that ended up messing up.
Yeah.
I think she deserves it.
I think she deserves a certain amount. But I don't
but
think
not
she
needs everything.
To take everything.
Yeah, I don't believe
so
in that.
I think you need to be able to be married at least 5 years, a 10-year, 15-year.
Maybe 10.
10.
I'm saying before you can get everything.
Well, it's already like that.
Oh, okay.
It's 10 years now, but I think that it needs to say this. I'm going to marry you for 5 years, and when we divorce, this is what you get.
Amount.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. This is what you
and
get.
And then 10 years, you get this.
And in 10 years, you get this. And I know that there are prenups out there, and not everybody does prenups, and people feel like, oh, I don't have enough for a prenup, but honey, let me tell you something. I have prenups.
You have prenups.
I have prenups.
So, I do believe in
you
prenups.
You better believe
I
in
believe
it.
In prenups.
Yeah.
Even if it's just goddamn me, you can't get my red bottoms on
my couch.
On my couch. On my TV.
You're not talking about white couch.
Yes, I'm a prenup every damn thing.
I'm a prenup everything.
Okay,
my
prenup my refrigerator.
My puppy.
And because it's mine.
And I work for that. With my CDs and everything. I just don't think it's fair.
Girl, speaking of that, girl, I used to date this guy. Girl, he got mad because I told him I didn't want him no more. Speaking of prenups, we weren't married though. But honey, he got mad and took the silverware. Girl, he was in the kitchen taking forks and knives. I was like, you can have that shit.
Oh my God.
Girl, he was mad. Pictures off the wall, the spoons, the cups. I'm like, are you really going to take the silverware?
The silverware? I mean, what is it that you
want? My silverware, too. I bought that shit.
It should be certain things that you can take. Like, why do you want the bed that we slept in?
Why? But as a man, just take your ass, just take your shit and go. Don't even take nothing. Just a real man.
He just going to leave.
He just going to take everything he came with him leave.
And everything. But you know what? And speaking of that, y'all, men are marrying to come up.
Oh, yeah. They are coming up.
Now, women, hey, we know they marry to come up. They've been doing it since 1919. That is not so abnormal. Yeah. But what is abnormal is men are marrying up.
The roles have reversed.
It has.
Yeah.
And so, and
leveling up.
Leveling all the way up, honey. They spotting them out on Instagram. And, baby, it's easy to get them.
Yeah,
they put it all out there. Social media. That's why I stopped posting all my stuff.
Yeah, you would get it. I ain't telling nothing because you ain't going to just, oh, goddamn me, sop me out.
Sop me out.
DM you saw the car I drove.
DM
yes,
me. And then you driving my car around. Come on now.
Driving me around. And then late picking me up from work.
Ooh. Now, what was that movie, girl?
What movie?
It was a movie where she was Baby Boy.
Baby boy.
Girl, Taraji played
that. She was waiting
role.
On him.
Waiting on her.
In her car.
To be picked up.
To be picked up.
Now, you know what? Let's just say. Okay, listen. Let's just be real, y'all. I know right now it's a shortage of men, y'all ladies, but let me just tell y'all something. Red flags.
Red flag is red.
Let's talk about the red flags.
Let's talk about red flags.
And men, there are some red flags for y'all too.
Yeah, it's a lot of red flags for men and women.
It's a lot. But ladies, here it is.
Flag on the plate.
Flag on the plate.
Okay.
So here it is. It's this simple. If he don't have nowhere to live.
Nowhere to live.
If he doesn't have his own car.
No car to drive.
His credit messed up.
Credit score, what?
Four. And, you know, he might. And
money in the bank.
No
bank
money
account.
In the bank. Nothing.
No couch.
Nothing. And the last time he was in a relationship, he lived with her. Honey, let me tell you something. Run for your life.
Run far as run.
Run. Because that is not a husband, honey. That's a dependent. And you will become a husband.
Yeah, you'll become a husband. That's another topic. I'm glad you said that. It's a lot of us who are husbands.
Husbands. And we're not talking about gay. We know. We already know that in gay relationships, women are going to be husbands. Bump that. We're talking about in heterosexual relationships where a husband is supposed to be the husband, but the wife has become the husband.
Exactly. Because she's taking care of all the responsibilities that the husband should be taking care of.
Now, that's sad.
That's very sad, but you know, like you just said, that's what's going on right now. There are so many husbands.
There is. You know what? Yeah. I didn't experience that until I moved to the city. I didn't see that. No, that don't happen in the country.
Ooh, I need a country man.
Yes, you do.
Girl, let's go to the country.
Okay, girl.
Come on, let's go.
We're going to the country. But you know, I'm not from here, and I don't get it. I don't get it. Women taking care of their men. Now let's just be clear. If you have been married to your husband and he falls on hard times, then by all means support your man. If he's had your back for 5 years and he gets into a, you know, support your man. But honey, if he get fired from every job, he worked 2 weeks and fired and home on the couch and on social media all day.
Yeah, no, if work don't like him and he don't like work, it's a damn problem.
That's a problem.
Right.
So, you know, but ladies.
Well, how long so my question is to you is that, you know, you said support your man if he loses his job or whatever. Yeah, I understand all that.
A year.
Okay, that was my question. How long should I support?
6 months to a year.
6 months to a year. 12 months max.
Max. I think that's long enough.
Okay.
Because if you go past that, honey, you
it's
don't like
problem.
Him no more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, really, because your you mindset. Have to be stimulated. You know, husband, you know, men have to stimulate women. We're different. So things start going crazy if he's sitting around all day.
Women come just as big as a man's bank account.
Okay.
And when I say come, I'm saying C-U-M, not C-O-M.
Oh, got it.
So, I mean, hey, the happier you are financially, the happier you are sexually. You know, he gets it more. So, I get it. You're right. Cause, well, I ain't had that problem. My husband, he was very supportive financially. Yeah. You know, I can't complain about that. But at the end of the day, do you think, so let me ask you this. Should we go half on the bills? Because I don't go half on the
click. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in going half on the bills. And not and you know, I don't know.
Will you go half on the bills, though? But you don't believe,
half.
You prefer not to.
I prefer not. Because I say date on your level and marry on your level. That's why you have to be equally yoked. And you can't pretend like you're on the level, because, honey, it's going to surface.
Yeah.
But I'd say date on your level. You have to be equally yoked with your partner. And that way, you know, if you're accustomed to a certain lifestyle and he comes in, then he needs to be able to take care of that lifestyle. Because 1 + 1 equals...
2, not negative 1.
Okay.
So, you know, hey,
I mean, that's
I got married to grow.
Right. And I think most people should. I mean, why? I mean, for what other reason are you marrying?
Cause no other.
Because, I mean, you know, we're not laying around having sex.
But a lot of us, like you said, a lot of us, we get in marriage just to
say I'm married.
To be complete.
To be complete.
To fill that void.
Or to be able to post it and say, hey, I'm married too.
Look at us.
Because looks like everybody is married and I'm older and I haven't been married yet. And
who made the rules anyway? You don't have to be married.
Right.
Marry yourself.
Right, first.
Matter of fact, you know what? I think I may have a ceremony for myself.
You, oh girl, I'm going to plan it. You
okay, plan it for me.
Oh,
I need to dress and everything. I need to marry. I'm going to marry me.
That's it.
First.
And I'm going to do the wedding.
And then we're going to marry you.
We're going to marry you. And every woman needs to first marry herself. Yeah, we're going to
marry yourself. Know who you are. Know what you want. Know your expectations. Know where you're trying to go in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Know what you stand for.
Yeah, stand for something, you know. And it's just kind of sad. But on another note, with the wonderful marriages that are out there, I do know that there are some great marriages. Not a lot. I can't talk on a lot of happy, successful marriages because even people who are married, someone said something to me the other day and, you know, we were just talking and just not trying to bring up the name, but we all have struggles within our marriages, right? Mm-hmm. So we were talking about it and marriages work.
It is.
And
lots of work.
and she said to me, I asked the question, do you know of any happy, successful marriages?
What did she say?
She said, yeah, she know a few. They've been married 30 years. But 30 years don't mean you're happy and successful. See, people put, that's the problem with society. They think because you've been married 30 years, married 50 years, that, oh, they're happy. No, they're not. Women are going through hell in marriages.
Right.
And men.
Because you're together does not mean you're together.
Right. And that's just it. And like I said the other day, a person that's married doesn't mean that they're committed.
You goddamn right. They don't mean that they're committed.
Yeah. You know, and that's the thing. But, you know, she said to me, if you endure long enough.
Endure?
That's my thing.
But what do I have to endure?
I don't know, but I don't want to have to endure. Now, I know hard times. I know we're going to have struggles.
Right.
I know we're going to have arguments.
Right. But I ain't doing
no. But endure? That is a harsh word because God came so that I can have life and have life abundantly, honey.
Yeah, meaning.
Like, where that comes from?
Yeah, endure to me means deal with the bullshit.
I mean, just put
endure.
Up with anything and everything.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. No. And I'm not, we're not angry black women. However, we do have standards.
Yeah, no. You can't come home and kick me all around and take all my money and go down the street with Jill and come back with Becky and have Becky in my car.
And I'm supposed to endure.
And I'm that dear. And ooh, and I just love him. Mm-mm. And keep praying. Girl, that ain't praying. That's voodoo. You trying to put voodoo
no,
on
that's
there.
Crazy.
You're trying to put voodoo
that's,
on there.
That's crazy.
Girl, no.
That's crazy. Mm-mm. That is crazy.
Because look, God ain't going to even, he's not going to, God, you have
God
to welcome him
miss.
In. You have to welcome him in. If he's not ready, then okay. You know, but he has to be ready. So on another note.
Yeah, she has to be ready too.
Because,
you know, it's a lot of cheating women out there too now.
Girl, now that's
that women cheating just as much as men these
they
days.
They cheat and they don't get caught.
Oh, because we know how to cheat.
We know how to. Maybe we need to write a book.
Did I say we know how to cheat?
You said that, hellfire. Oh! You said that. Maybe somebody needs a woman needs to give the man the play.
No. We ain't giving no plays. We ain't telling our secrets.
Okay.
No, they get
caught up every time.
They need to
right?
keep getting caught.
Okay. So, and then speaking of that, y'all, this is controversial, okay? y'all, these wives running around here calling these women side chicks. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Ooh.
Definition of a side chick. The definition of a side chick is a woman who sleeps with a married man on the side.
Okay, is that the definition? Okay.
That's their definition. I never liked that word. Not because I'm a side chick. I just don't like the word because after I got married, a lot of things made better sense to me because I was single most of my life.
Right.
So, yeah, you're a side chick, girl. You're right. But when a man makes a decision to marry a woman,
okay,
that is his commitment and his vow. Between him and God.
And that woman. Right.
That's what that is. So then he goes out and he gets him another woman.
Okay.
What society has done is made it all about the woman. It's not all her fault. People say, oh, well, if women wasn't cheap, then he wouldn't have nobody to cheat with. He gonna find somebody to cheat with. If well, he do it with his hand.
Right. Yeah, if he talked to the hand.
He talked to, he gonna still, talk to.
So you think that's cheating? If he just masturbates?
Girl, that's a whole nother level. We got to talk about that next week. That's gonna take me out.
Okay, that's a, but, oh, Lord.
Don't take me out.
That's a sensitive subject.
Speaking of sensitive. So, but what I don't like is that they kind of pinpoint the woman and say, oh, she's a side chick. You a side chick. But listen, your husband has made a decision to make this woman his woman.
His lover.
His lover.
You know, I have another word for it.
Uh-huh. And so here's what I say. I'm going to take a note from Evelyn's book, Mama Evelyn. Tamar Braxton, Toni Braxton's mother.
Yeah,
she said, if you are not planning to do something about it, don't ask him the question. Let the man cheat in peace. It
let
makes
him
a lot
cheat
of
in
sense.
Peace?
Yeah, let him cheat in peace.
So don't say nothing.
Don't say a word. Are you planning on leaving him?
Shit, I don't know.
So here's what I'm saying. If you don't plan on leaving your husband about what he's doing, don't ask him a question. Because all you're
going to ask his ass.
That's the problem.
Know, and I'm going to fight his ass.
And that's
too.
The problem. Why? Why are you fighting him? Because at the end
maybe,
of the day.
Maybe he'll stop once I find
girl,
out.
Bye. He is not going to stop.
He's not.
He might stop with her for a minute.
Yeah, but he's going to
and then he's
going
to find a way back. Or he's going to find a way to someone else. And so I was listening. We had went and heard some live music.
Uh-huh. The other night.
And okay. I heard the guy say, I'm with my lover and my side wife. I was like, oh.
Yeah, I heard that song.
And they
before.
Were like, oh my God. So I said, you know what? My lover and my side wife. That's something that, wow.
Now that's profound.
Women, wives are becoming side wives.
Because they're not leaving. And
they
know.
And because they're not leaving.
And they
and
know
they
the man.
Know. So is it right? No, it's not right. But is it right for you to stay? That's not right either. Because one of the reasons God gave you to leave your husband
is cheating.
Adultery.
Mm-hmm. Adultery.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. for you.
But a lot of women don't leave because they're in certain situations where they can't leave. They have kids. They don't work.
That's
they haven't
excuse.
Worked.
Excuses are dressed up lies to me. And that's an excuse.
Excuses are dressed up lies.
That's an dressed up lie.
But you know, some women just don't have the strength to leave. You know what I'm saying?
But why?
Because
not?
They don't have, they feel like they don't have any foundation to stand on. They feel like, I haven't worked in 25 years. I have these kids. He's the breadwinner. I know he's cheating, but I just feel like I have nowhere to go. I have no family here. So what am I supposed to do? Do I leave and go to the shelter, or do I stay in my big 8-bedroom home and deal with this man cheating?
Here it is.
To save my lifestyle.
You can have peace in a 1-bedroom apartment, baby.
I'm not if working. I can't afford a 1-bedroom apartment. And I got four kids.
You better plan. You better get you an exit plan. You have to get you an exit plan. I don't care if it take you a year, 2 years, 5 years. But, you're going to be there yes. anyway. Well, you better start
stash
stacking money.
Stash the
cash. You better stash start stashing money and get away. And so, and I think that because you're not happy. You're not happy.
No, I'm, not. I'm so, not happy mentally, but
mentally,
I'm comfortable.
But you're comfortable. So when does money become more important than your peace, your sanity, your joy, your happiness? So that's the problem.
That's the problem.
That's the problem.
For me,
you're
it's
not in it for him.
Yeah.
You're in it for the money.
I'm in it for the lifestyle.
I'm the lifestyle.
And for me, money is not more important than my happiness, but for a lot of women out there, it is. It's more their lifestyle and the image and mm-hmm. the Instagram posts.
Yeah.
Are more important than the actual reality of their relationship.
Right.
Because you and I both know.
Yeah.
There are a lot of situations that they are not what they post
to be.
To be.
Right.
Right. POST.
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I'm saying? So crazy. You're right. A lot of us women need to find the courage, the strength to get out of situations that we totally don't agree with.
Yeah. And we hope that by you listening to us, and we're going to get a little deeper. We're going to be transparent and share some touchy subjects, share some real life experiences with you guys.
Yeah.
So
and let's
yeah.
talk about it.
Yeah, let's talk about it. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. Let's be transparent. Let's be clear. Who made the rules anyway? Nothing is set in stone. Do you be free? You know, just live life.
That's
and
it.
And all due respect, though.
That's it. And until we meet again.
Until we meet again, it is hellfire.
And this is holy water, y'all, and we are signing off.
Bye. Toodles.